The Mark passage says, "When you hear wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the end." It was actually birth pangs. Birth pangs. When we turn on the news and hear wars and rumors of wars, nations rising against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes and famines and raging destructive fires and governments that bring more pain than hope, it's no wonder that fear is in the air, and fear is surging. And that while overall crime rates are down, a sense of disorder is constant. Good morning. Molly Ball, in an Atlantic article from 2016, already could feel that warning bell going off. Whoever doesn't know that that's their ringtone. Awesome. She could feel that bell ring. It was consistent for her. It was persistent. Prior to the election of Donald Trump, prior to the PC government in Ontario, these feelings of fear and disorder and chaos have found fertile soil as shooting after shooting has eroded our sense of safety, even though it's countries away. And these times have undermined the hard work done to build up community. So it seems appropriate that at the end of the liturgical church year, technically it's next week, but we're getting close, the penultimate, that as we prepare for Christmas and welcoming hope and peace and joy and love into our lives again, it only makes sense to start from a place of disorder and chaos and fear. When you hear wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. R.E.M. sang, "It's the end of the world as I know it, and I feel fine." I think it's as we know it, actually. When these words were written down in the Gospel of Mark, the stones were already on top of one another. Written around the year 70, the Gospel of Mark slips in some CNN-like commentary into the retelling of Jesus' life. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings!" Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." Around the year 70, when these words were written, tensions between Romans and Jews had reached a fevered pitch. And what was once an uncomfortable alliance during the time of Jesus had turned into an annoyance for the power-hungry Rome by the year 70. Romans sacked Jerusalem, causing fear and disorder and chaos, ultimately destroying the Second Temple. As an aside, if you travel to Jerusalem, not one stone is upon another. The temple was never rebuilt. All that remains is the Western Wall, or the Wailing Wall, as it's known, the outermost wall that has become the holiest site in all of Judaism. So when this story was written down and shared, the Jews, the Jewish Christians, the Gentiles would all know the context of these stones coming down. And it would have felt like the end of the world. Jesus didn't care much about temples or churches or places of worship in the same way that you and I do. Jesus saw many problems in the establishment of religion, because the minute you establish something is the minute it stands the test of time. It bears the weight of time. And the minute it does that, it picks up phrases like, "But we've never done it that way." And that's not how so-and-so used to do it. And instead of the rolling stone gathering no moss, we've practically become hidden to the world because of all that's grown on us. The controversies, the heresies, the power and the misuse of it. Jesus saying to his future disciples, the ones who were reading this in year 70, was offering a word of comfort. Seeing their temple, what they loved, what they invested time and energy and faith into, seeing that destroyed, Jesus is saying, do not be alarmed. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs, trying to speak some comfort amidst the chaos. His voice echoed comfort and peace in chaotic times. We do the same thing when we read Scripture every week. We hear the words of Jesus as if they're speaking to us. Because as we look around and see great buildings around us where not one stone is left on another, as Christianity in the West dies a slow and painful death, as in here, Kitchener alone, in the United Church particularly, we've closed buildings. We've heard heart-hurtingly stories of the problems of our faithful living, times when we've treated faith like a great stone to throw at someone else. That we just no longer live in a society that defaults to faith as the norm. Do you see these great buildings? Jesus says, almost leaning into the word great, with you could hear the quotation marks. Not one stone will be left here upon another, all will be thrown down. This last week, the congregation of Trinity United Church here in town suffered insult upon injury. After making the difficult decision of selling their building and moving down the street, learning that sometime this fall that not one stone would be left upon another, demolition was going to happen. Not once but twice this week did fire destroy parts of their former building. The desperation of people reveals the failings of society. Our inability to house and to clothe and to care for basic needs doesn't mean these needs go away. Trinity did much work through their ministry to care for those in need, often finding people who slept in the building. With the church not there, the need is even greater. And I don't know, outside these walls, those who have never darkened the door of the church, do they think, well, someone will do it? Because it's thought that at least one of the fires that was set by those who had broken into the church was to give warmth. They break in. They light fires to keep warm. They light fires to send a message. That's fine if the rest of the world wants to tear down Christianity, or it's fine if because of controversy and cover-ups that we've let Christianity become torn down. But if we as a society can't let go of blaming the theys that merely want to live and live into the we's of community beyond these stones, then we're just going to continue to live in disorder and chaos and fear. This is an interesting church. St. James Rosemont is filled with people who moved beyond the stones of great buildings. For the builders of the church, the charter members had no great building to inspire them. They merely had the faith in Jesus Christ to live with courage in their community, to gather in homes and share what inspired them. And out of that connection and relationship grew you. Over time, people came, not necessarily because of our bricks and mortars, but because of the good that was done here and the way that lives were changed here. Over time, and just in these last few years, the congregation of Olivet United gave up their great building, their stones which stood for years and years and carried not with them those rocks and pebbles and things that they'd acquired, but carried their faith alone and joined the congregation of St. James and Calvary Memorial. I guess what I'm saying is this scripture shouldn't be scary for us. We know this all too well, that these great buildings are not the beginning and end of our ministry. Whether these last is not an indication of what God thinks of us or our faith lives. We do well to listen to our brothers and sisters of the Buddhist tradition, to live with the peace of impermanence, to know that nothing of this life is permanent. Not you or I, not the stones around us, nothing. Just look at the heartbreak of Paradise, California. People have lost their entire lives. Some of them have lost their lives to the wildfires. Nothing lasts forever. So what on earth are we doing here? Jesus says, do not be alarmed. This is but the beginning of the, do you remember what it was? Birth pangs. In the face of the great impermanence of the world, knowing that truly we experience the word of a Greek philosopher 500 years before Christ, Heraclitus of Ephesus, we know that change is central to the universe. The only thing that we can agree on is that life always changes. There are always birth pangs, always labor pains before the birth of the new. And I love this idea. The reason why I want you to know those words and go out with them rattling in your head. It's truly an odd word choice. Birth pangs. And it's barely used anywhere else in the Bible, like 4 times. I love more that those who wrote the Bible, predominantly men, would have no idea, no concept or reference point of what birth pangs actually meant. There's a joke that Carol Burnett said that to describe childbirth, she said, it's like taking your bottom lip and pulling it over your head. I will never experience that level of pain, as neither did the ones who wrote these words. The King James Bible, it tried a little bit different to translate these words, saying instead that these are the beginnings of sorrows. Welcome to parenthood, the beginnings of sorrows. Written for Reverend Chris. When my wife was in labor, I've shared the story that I slept through some of it, but... Yeah. I mean, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do anything but stand by and be present to assure my partner that she wasn't alone, to remind her that eventually the pain would be over, to visualize that time of peace instead of the present moment of pain. And maybe that's why men wrote this story and included these particular words. In their helplessness amidst the pain of the world, describing the church present to the birth pangs of the world, present to the sorrows, living beyond our great buildings and stones, living into being a people of comfort and compassion, caring for the needs of the hungry, the needs of the hurting, accompanying and loving and accepting without judgment. That's how we live into this presence of the birth pangs. It's the foundation of our church. It's rooted in the comfort of Jesus and the compassion of his ministry. It is the great hope of Christianity that even though the stones will come down, they will. The gifts of our ministry still bless our community in profound ways. The children got it. You can just rebuild. The gifts don't disappear. We didn't knock it over and go poof. Do not be alarmed. For Jesus is with us now and always. Thanks be to Christ. Amen.